P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Paul McGuire. Before we get to Paul, I just want to mention, if you're living in the southern part of California, Wire will be speaking at the Freedom Health Expo, that's on the 3rd of March. We'll be there for a second in March at the Long Beach Convention Center. So if you're in that area and you'd like to come, it should be fascinating. They're expecting 4,000 or 5,000 people. But I'll be talking on the 3rd of March. And with that as a background, Paul McGuire, of course, is from Southern California as well. For about 10 years, he was the voice of KBRT, a large Christian Crawford station in Southern California, and he did 3 or 4 hours of talk radio every day. But under any circumstances, after 10 years there, he's gone off and is writing books now. He does television. He's a frequent guest on some of the major networks. But of course, he's one of the best informed Christian speakers in America today. Understanding and recognizing the fact that we truly are involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But you cannot make any sense out of anything going on today unless you understand there's a spiritual battle. During the news a few minutes ago, they were talking about Nagasaki and, of course, the city in Japan that was hit by an atom bomb. But, of course, for many centuries before that, it had been sort of the center of Christianity in Japan. And, of course, most people have never asked, why did we bomb Nagasaki? It wasn't a military target. Why did we bomb it during the Second World War with the second of the nuclear weapons? Well, because I believe it, because it was a Christian center. And the people, of course, who were working in Washington, D.C. at that time, as were the people working in Washington, D.C. at this time, hate Christianity and wanted to destroy it. That's why they took God, prayer, and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That is why today we've installed new constitutions in both Afghanistan and in Iraq under Sharia law. Why would we conquer these secular countries and then replace them with governments under Sharia law? So the Christians have been driven out. There are no Christians in Afghanistan. It used to be 10% of the population in Iraq were Christians, and today it's probably less than 1%, a direct result of American foreign policy. There's not 1 in 1,000 Christians in America who even suspects what's really going on in the world today and the real objective of American foreign and domestic policy. Paul, thank you very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, it's always a tremendous blessing to be on your program and just listening to you talk for the last number of minutes, highly informative, so it's a great blessing to be on the show.
Well, I want you to just sort of pick up, because you have certainly gotten so much information about the spiritual battle, one of the best informed people in the country. You pick up the story.
Well, Dr. Stan, as you were talking about, unfortunately, this is a very difficult area for the average Christian, let's say, to accept. And that is that we are in a spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul said, for our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the dark, unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And we don't take that seriously. Dr. Schaefer commented on that years ago. So that is the primary battlefield. And once we understand that, then we can begin to engage in true spiritual warfare.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to be having to take a quick break here. But Francis Schaeffer was really one of the great theologians of modern times, and he is sorely missed. And I certainly learned a great deal from his ministry.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Paul was simply just saying that we really are involved in a spiritual warfare today. Most people don't understand that, but there really are people in the world today who are getting messages, certainly from dark and sinister spiritual forces, and there are some people who are actually getting it under the direct control of Lucifer today. And so many of the things that are happening, the new diseases, the changes in the weather, of people getting sick from vaccinations, all sorts of things happening, and the myriad of things we talk about, they can all be directly related directly back to the spirits of warfare. And there really are dark and sinister forces at work in America today that weren't here 50 years ago when I was growing up, but now they're in positions of authority and direction and molding the world in which we live today. Go right ahead, Paul.
Well, you're right, Dr. Stan, and they're no longer afraid, and they're no longer hiding. They're coming right out in the open and telling you what they're going to do. So as you know, the motto of the Illuminati, which is this secretive, global occult organization that has been controlling the world for several hundred years, the birth of the Illuminati was in 1776, and the birth of the United States was in 1776. And the Illuminati, their slogan is order out of chaos. So their strategy is they deliberately create chaos so they can exploit the chaos to create a new world order. And that's why you hear things from Hillary Clinton and others, expressions like never let a good crisis go to waste. So a modern way of interpreting the expression order out of chaos, the modern term would be manufactured crisis. And essentially it's the same principle. And what we're seeing in our society today, people think this is random. It's not an accident that we're going into $20 trillion in debt. It's part of the plan. It's not an accident that we're outsourcing all of our jobs. It's not an accident that the dollar is being devalued. None of this is accidental. America is deliberately being destroyed so that the secretive elite can bring in their global government, their global economic system, and their one world religion.
I agree with you. And of course, basically what they're doing is they're raising the living standards throughout the rest of the world. And in the process, they are intentionally and purposely lowering living standards here in America. And ladies and gentlemen, they're going to get a lot worse. The standard of living is going to fall a lot more here in America. And more people are going to be living in poverty here a few years from now than they are today. Go right ahead, Paul.
Well, Dr. Stan, that's a very sobering and chilling thought, but I happen to agree with you 100%. We haven't even seen really the beginning of what the strategy is for America. And if you look at all the statistical economic figures, the American middle class is now living off pennies of the dollar compared to the standard of living of the American middle class, let's say, in the 1960s. And it's unsustainable. You go to the grocery store, there's no way people can afford food at those prices and cars at those prices. But here's the evil genius behind the whole thing. In order to prepare the people to accept a far lower standard of living, they use social engineering or mind control or brainwashing or whatever you want to call it to condition them to think that if they have smaller homes, smaller cars, and use less energy, and eat less food, and don't take jet trips, et cetera, they've brainwashed the average American into thinking that if they voluntarily reduce their standard of living, that they're going to save planet Earth from some kind of ecological disaster. Now, you know from your many guests and your own research that there is no such thing as global warming. It's a complete fantasy. And yet they use global warming as a pretense, as a Trojan horse to slam dunk a hardcore Marxist global totalitarian government. So I see people with big smiles on their faces driving all around California in these cars that they're the tiniest cars I've ever seen in my life. They're microscopic, and they think they have a big smile on their face because they think, gee, I'm helping the environment. No, they're not helping the environment. They're helping bring in a global government. Cars in the 60s and the 70s and even in the 80s, the middle-class Americans, and they were not wasting energy, by the way, were driving large vehicles. And the middle-class family could enjoy driving a large, powerful automobile. There's nothing wrong with that. But they brainwashed people into thinking that if they lower their standard of living, that they're going to be good citizens of planet Earth. That's mind control.
Well, you know, I think it's the most amazing thing that you can actually convince people we have global warming. And yet, of course, this is the coldest winter I can remember in decades, you know. And they're having these terrible storms right back on the East Coast now. And yet they convince us there's global warming. And they show us the pictures of the Arctic Ocean in the summertime. And all the ice is gone. And they say, see, yeah, global warming. The trouble is they don't show you the pictures in the wintertime,
right,
when it's all iced over. And basically, they'll show you this poor old polar bear there, and there's just one little piece of ice he has to get on. And they're playing games with our minds. They control the media, and as a result of that, they control our perception. As a result of that, they control our reality. And the whole idea is, oh my goodness, if we just quit using fossil fuels, and we didn't have so much people, and we didn't have so much carbon dioxide out there, why we wouldn't have global warming. Ladies and gentlemen, the level of carbon dioxide is 0.03%, 0.03 to 0.4, 0.04%. Of 1% of the atmosphere. This is not producing global warming, but it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it over and over and over again, people will believe. Go right ahead.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And one of the people, unfortunately, don't understand that brainwashing, mass brainwashing, persuasion, social engineering, mind control, whatever you want to call it, it's no longer in its infancy. When we brought over the Nazi mind control scientists through Operation Paperclip after World War II, they have made the science of mind control a very sophisticated, high-level science. And it's, the science of mind control is just as advanced as the science of biotechnology or rocket technology or computer technology. It's just that the average American has no idea of what mind control can do. In fact, one of the major attributes of mind control is the person who is under mind control will absolutely insist aggressively that they are a free thinker and that they have arrived at all of their conclusions by themselves. But the humor of it is that every other person who's saying the same thing has the exact same conclusion. So they're brainwashed. Now, going back to the purpose of the brainwashing, the Fabian socialists in the 1870s, the intellectuals who outwardly claimed to be atheists and socialists and humanists, like Bertrand Russell, and the science fiction author H.G. Wells, who wrote The Invisible Man, War of the Worlds, and Keynes, who was the economist who came up with the concept of spend your way to prosperity. These British intellectuals got together with very powerful financial interests, and they literally mapped out a plan to create a world socialist government, a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system. And they mapped it out, including World War I, II, and III. And they knew that brainwashing would be an essential part of achieving this objective. So they create people's public opinions, and that's why you have people in the public school system saying, you know, they're proud to be citizens of the world, etc. But they are controlling the direction of America. And the thing that I think is fascinating is that the Fabian socialists, while pretending to be humanists and atheists, were really an outgrowth of the of a psychic society in Great Britain that were conducting seances and all kinds of occult experiments. So this atheistic movement towards a new world order has never been a humanistic, atheistic movement. It has always been part of an occult master plan.
And basically, of course, there really are occult organizations. You can get, fortunately, we have the internet. You can check these things out. And you go back into H.G. Wells. He was involved in the occult. You go into Bertrand Russell. He was involved in the occult.
That's right.
And if you begin to study this, why then you begin looking behind the background of so many of these people who've led this battle towards this one world socialist system, and you find out that instance after instance after instance, oh, they are firmly founded in the occult, and that is, of course, the common denominator. We'll be back in just a moment here with Paul McGuire, right here at the Radio Liberty Network.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Well, certainly, Paul, has simply been talking about how we have all of these movements in the world today, humanism and Marxism and socialism and communism. But, of course, what most people miss is that the common denominator behind all of them is the occult. And basically, until you understand the occult forces behind everything, and of course, the corporate socialists we have here in America, the great tax-exempt foundations of the Carnegie, Ford, Rockefeller, they're all rooted in the occult. And until you understand that, nothing going on really makes sense. So basically, Paul was beginning to discuss a philosopher who had had such a profound impact upon the way people look at the world today. Go right ahead, Paul.
Well, this particular English philosopher influenced the Fabian socialists and the most powerful men on planet Earth. And he wrote his thesis in the 1870s, and he basically said all of mankind's problems are due to excessive population growth, and he believed that the solution to mankind's problems was mass sterilization, mass abortion, and then he, along with Bertrand Russell, actually advocated the killing of hundreds of millions of people through black death, through plague, through nuclear wars and endless wars. And as that monument testifies, the Georgia Guidestones, their goal, their open goal, they said it quite openly, is to reduce as quickly as possible, and I assume that means, you know, 3 or 4 years, the population of planet Earth from 7 billion to 500 million people. And they're going to do it in the most barbaric fashion. So what's interesting about this is that this philosopher basically said all of mankind's problems are due to excessive population. But what most Christians don't seem to perceive is that statement is a direct attack on God's primary mandate, because in Genesis, God's primary mandate is to men and women, be fruitful and multiply. So reproducing within marriage and having children is a primary commandment and mandate from God. And yet we have this entire New Age movement, which is saying the exact opposite. Now, what concerns me is that the Christian culture globally does not have a biblical worldview. And by that, I mean that they have a very light and sketchy knowledge of the Scripture, but they're unable to apply the truth of Scripture to things like population control and economics and globalism and so on and so forth. And because of that weakness in understanding the Scripture, they become vulnerable to these spiritual attacks from these dark Luciferian forces.
Now, who was this philosopher? I think I know who it was, but I just want to make sure.
Well, tell me the name, because I'm very embarrassed.
Thomas Malthus.
Exactly.
Okay, fine.
I had a mental fog.
Well, my goodness, I get those all the time.
Right.
But then I'm 84.
And I quote him constantly. And it's known, you know, Malthus. People who are Malthusians, which would include most in the scientific community today, hold to the view that we need to radically reduce our population. But yet God, see, here's the interesting thing. When you have a biblical worldview, you understand a lot of things that people who do not have their minds renewed by the Word of God and who do not have the Spirit of Truth inside of them. First of all, there is no such thing as shortages on planet Earth. The idea of energy shortages, food shortages, and so on and so forth are entirely mythological. Before the flood, I don't know what your figures are, but before the flood, let's say there was 3 billion people. What number do you think it is? I'm just curious.
I've never really thought of it, so I'll pass on that.
Okay. Well, let's say conservatively, 3 billion people population before the flood. So God designed planet Earth to be able to feed comfortably, not just the present population. We could probably easily be up there at 25 billion and not feel any negative effects at all. The problem is dictatorship, greed, mismanagement, and war. The problem is not population.
No, but I think that we are going to be moving in some very, very difficult times. And, of course, that's a whole different story. I mean, they really do intend to kill off the vast
right.
majority of the people in the world. And if anybody has any question, go to Elberton, Georgia, look at the Georgia Guidestones, and ask yourself, why isn't everybody talking about this? And the reason is, they don't want you to know what lies ahead for you.
That's
and your
right.
family. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Paul McGuire, and I'm going to get Paul to get his vital statistics out. But before he does that, I wanted to hear what he had to say about Nimrod, because Nimrod, of course, is one of the pivotal figures in history. After, certainly, we have the time of Adam, and then, of course, we go for about 1,600 years, where this initial society becomes totally corrupt, and it's so corrupt, and there's so many strong occult forces there, and I believe there are probably Nephilim there at the intermarriage, that we're told of the intermarriage, or a sexual relationship between these demonic beings and women, and we have these creatures, half-human and half-superhuman. And then, of course, God destroys the whole thing at the time of Noah. And then, of course, about 100, 150, 200 years later, we have Nimrod come along. And Nimrod, of course, is, Paul thinks he may have been a Nephilim, and he may very well have, because the demonic spirits were here initially. All the Nephilim were killed at the time of the flood. But, of course, after the flood, The demonic spirits were still here, and Nimrod wants to unite the world under his control in violation of God's plan. God doesn't want the world to be united. It doesn't want a one-world government at that time in history, and so God intervenes. But Paul, will you pick up the story? So who is Nimrod? What was he doing? Why is Nimrod a pivotal figure in the Christian history of the world?
Well, I do believe that Nimrod was a Nephilim, which, as you were alluding to, he was the product of interspecies breeding between fallen angels or demons and human women. And he had exceptional intelligence and strength and power and organizational ability, as well as a knowledge of advanced technology. So the Tower of Babel was not just a tower. I believe it was a technological device which created an energy portal which allowed beings from the fourth dimension, or demons, to come into this world. And I believe that's why he built that, so that fallen angels could come into this world through a dimensional portal. Now, having put that aside, and that's pretty serious in God's eyes, God judged the Tower of Babel, because the Tower of Babel in Babylon was the world's first one-world government, one-world economic system, and one-world religion. In fact, all the occult religions come from Babylon. That's why it says in Revelation, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. And the secret religion behind the founding of America has to do with Babylon and the occult. So God didn't write the story of Babylon as some cute little story. It is a predictive warning against one world government, one world religion, one world economic system. And God is communicating to the human race that in the future, when this returns again, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, God's going to judge this Babylonian system, this new world order, this one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. He's going to judge it, and Babylon will be judged.
Well, I believe that's true, and I believe we're moving rapidly towards this one-world system, but the average American really doesn't understand why we have to have the mightiest military in the whole world. Are we really defending America? And of course we're not defending America. We have troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world, and now we're going to move them into an additional 35 nations in Africa to defend ourselves. Does anybody really so naive that they believe that? Of course not. We actually have an American empire, which foreshadows the coming of this one-world satanic government, one-world satanic order that it simply began with Nimrod and is being fulfilled by the people who control the American government. The people who founded America, most of our founding fathers were Christians. They wanted this to be a Christian republic. But there were evil people here at the time when America was founded. They had to stay behind the scenes. They could never come forward and let people know what they were doing. Any more than today, they can tell you what they're doing. But they're using the financial and military power of the United States to crush freedom throughout the world, impose upon the world dictators, ruthless dictators like we have Mr. Morsi, we've just installed over there, certainly in Egypt. And, of course, what we're doing then, these will all be willing to go along with the plan for the world government. Go right ahead, Paul.
Well, yes. And I have, by the way, a number of articles that people can read for free in YouTube and stuff at my website, paulmcguire.org.
Please get a couple of times get that out. Yes. That was the thing I wanted to get to next. PaulMcGuire.org. And how about your books? Any books that they should read? Or?
Yeah, and PaulMcGuire.com. McGuire is McGuire. And if they want to understand the Luciferian nature and where our dollar is going, my book, The Day the Dollar Died, would really help them. And then I have another book, Are You Ready for the Microchip? And then I have a DVD series, a three DVD series called Are You Ready for the One World Government, One World Economic System, and One World Religion? Plus a whole lot of books that deal with prophecy and current events and warning. Now, I don't know if I have time to say this, and if I don't, then please interrupt me.
You've got plenty of time. Okay. We got at least another 10 to 12 minutes.
Okay. Okay. This is a burden that the Lord put on me, and it's been one for quite some time, because I've been seeking the face of God for years, and asking God, because I've been aware of this titanic struggle between the New World Order and what's left of America, and I know about the destructive elements that are about to be unleashed on this nation. And I've asked the God on behalf of his people and our families and children and so on, Lord, what do we do? Because simply on an economic or logistical level, we are so far outnumbered that you can't have, I mean, this is not 1776. You're not going to have a conflict of that nature in this modern world. So I asked the Lord, what can we do? And the Lord began to explain to me through a lot of research, through a lot of studying of the Word, that our fight is spiritual, and that if the church intends to win this battle through political means, it's going to lose the war. And the way that we win this spiritual war, and I like to use this term because it underscores what I'm trying to emphasize. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to learn how to engage in high-level spiritual warfare with overwhelming force and stop playing church and recognize that we are actually engaging principalities and powers. And just like Jonathan Edwards helped ignite the first great awakening, which set our nation on fire with the power of God, affected our government, and Charles Finney with the second great awakening. I believe that it is not inconsistent with Bible prophecy to ask God for an unleashing of a third great awakening that will shake this nation. Now, when I say that, people always say to me, aren't you asking God to undo Bible prophecy? And I don't think people have really thought through their position. And my answer to them is always the same. My prayers for a great awakening or revival, or their prayers, is not going to undo God's prophetic program. God is sovereign. His prophetic program will unfold exactly like he wants it to. And my prayer isn't going to overturn it, and neither is anybody else's, because he's sovereign. So we don't have to worry about overturning God's prophetic program. If God doesn't want to answer our prayers, he simply won't answer it. So God's prophetic program will go forward as it's written in his word. But we see constant references in the Bible. The intercessory prayer of Abraham with the Lord before he destroyed Sodom, and they went back and forth about how many the numerical number of righteous people that had to be there that would prevent God from destroying it. And we see over and over again that God does not move in judgment without participation of his people. And so before the return of Jesus Christ, we are told to occupy until I come, not sleep, not hide, to occupy until I come. And that means that the Church of Jesus Christ, to put it bluntly, needs to repent of its apathy, of its unbelief, and its false doctrine, and it needs to confess the sin of not occupying until I come, and be faithful servants of the Lord and occupy until Jesus comes. That means maintain our ground, preserve the truth in the areas that God has placed us in. And then I believe that if we will meet God's requirements, which he spells out hundreds of times through the cycles of Israel's history, when God's people repented of their idols and they repented of ignoring his word and breaking his commandments. And when they began to put God's word first and they began to worship the true God only, oftentimes God would hold back the judgment and send healing and revival and drive back the powers of darkness. And Dr. Stan, what I'm about to say, I'm saying with all my heart, I am absolutely convinced that it is not the will of God for America to go down in flames. That could happen, and it may happen in the future. But for now, if God's people, from the pulpit first, because judgment begins in the house of the Lord, from the pulpit first, if we would begin to preach the word of God and not some kind of psychological, humanistic, motivational message, but to preach the word of God, I believe if we would repent and cry out to God, he would send revival, true biblical revival, not apostasy, to our nation. And we could see huge numbers of people saved and a pressing back of the powers of darkness in an explosive force. Now, what's interesting is that modern physicists have come to the conclusion that there is a fourth dimension, which the Bible calls the invisible world or a parallel universe or something of that nature. And modern physicists are saying that what happens in the fourth dimension affects physical reality in the three dimensions. And they also postulate that there are probably 11 dimensions through string theory. But as you go into a deeper study of what's called scalar energy, and this is the stuff that Nikola Tesla was tapping into, modern physicists are discovering, as Tesla did many years ago, that energy, massive amounts of energy, are available anytime, anywhere, with very simple technology. And so basically, he said there is no energy shortage. That's a myth. And I would say that if scientists and physicists are discovering this, and Einstein called it reading the mind of God, coming up with a formula where they could read the mind of God. If scientists understand that massive amounts of energy can be pulled out of the fourth dimension into the three dimensions that we live in, that within certain parameters is a parallel truth to the teachings of Jesus Christ, where he continued to say, whatever you ask for in my name and believe, I will do it for you, and I'm paraphrasing that. But if physicists can pull energy out of the fourth dimension into the physical world we live in, why cannot God's people do what God so specifically illustrated over and over again in the scripture, and that is repenting of sin, seeking his face, crying out to God? When those conditions are met, there is always a massive outpouring of energy, but it's personal energy. It's the power of God, and it's poured out on a nation, and it can take down the wicked, it can shake society, and it can transform society. Why is it that the church cannot exercise the same faith in the Bible and the supernatural power of God as taught by Jesus Christ as secular physicists can regarding energy being transferred from the fourth dimension?
Well, I hope all we can do is hope and pray, Chris, that something will happen. God will intervene. There'll perhaps be a catastrophe here, and God's people will turn back to our Lord. And whether the leadership will come from the church or from some still unrecognized people, or whether it'll be a mass movement, I really don't think so. Mass movements usually have to have a leader. Mm-hmm. Whether it be Jonathan Edwards or certainly John Wesley or the mm-hmm. others who were there at the time of the First Great Awakening, or Charles Finney at the time of the Second Great Awakening, I agree with you totally, Paul. What we need in America, and my hope and my prayer, is for a third great awakening. And I think we should ask our listeners to begin praying for just that. I think you crystallized that thought in my mind very clearly tonight. Go right ahead.
Well, that's the heartbeat that the Lord has given me. And to summarize it, the Lord told me, because I've been in agony praying and doing very extensive research, and the Lord said to me, when I say said to me, I don't mean to be cavalier about it, you know, like we're having a chummy conversation. I mean, he spoke to my inner spirit. But what the Lord seemed to reveal to me was that I was crying out to him, why are we in the place we're in the United States? And the Lord said, not in an audible voice, but he said to me, I have allowed my people to come to this place where there are no answers and no way out, and it's like they're in a box of hopelessness. The problems are insurmountable. There's no way out, and there's no solution, he said, except if they would call on me, and then they would notice that there's a doorway and that there's a way that wasn't there previously, he says, but they will only find their deliverance and freedom as they call on me.
And I just hope and pray that the American people do start calling on the Lord, and basically, of course, that we still have a predominance of Christians here, but they don't have the leadership. Our church has been neutralized, and certainly it's doing, so it has neutralized the Christians. What we need are voices like Paul's out there in the front line, and yours too, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to what Paul has to say. Listen to this program. It'll be archived. And then join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. Judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
From Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do hope, of course, you enjoyed Paul, but Paul's point is so well made. We have an obligation to be on the front lines of this battle. I mean, God's given me a radio ministry. How many retired orthopedists or even retired doctors do you know that have a radio ministry with over 50 outlets every single week? And certainly Paul, many years doing radio, now he does. He's on all of the major networks. They call him in to comment on what's going on, and he still does radio programs. He's a prolific writer. His books are excellent. He does a wonderful job. His voice, and there are other voices out there. We're not alone. We just need to magnify those voices and add your voice to it. And if you'll join us in this epic struggle, listen to what Paul has to say. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. Pull down this program and listen to it, or can't get it, why, we can always get your copy of it. But better still, if you have access to the Internet, why, we archive our programs for 6 weeks. Listen to it, understand what he's saying, and then join us in this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, because Christian civilization is under attack today. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're out there in a position to help, well, you can subscribe to our newsletter. You can certainly join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get the newsletter every month and the either tapes or CDs every month. Some people join the Radio Liberty family, they don't get anything, and that's fine. That saves us quite a bit of work and money. But then, of course, we hope that you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that you'll read it, and that you'll get our other tape sets. We have this great new tape set on the threat of an EMP attack. And believe me, this is a frightening thing to contemplate. And people who study this believe it is not a matter of if we're going to have an EMP attack, but when and what sort of EMP attack it's going to be. And then, of course, we have a great new four-tape set on geoengineering. And then, of course, we suggest you get perhaps my talk on the world revolution. You'll see my interview with Ambassador Earl Smith, a billionaire who was very gracious and invited me to come to his home in Palm Beach, Florida. And he tells you how he was the American ambassador to Cuba when we brought Fidel Castro to power. And the president knew Fidel Castro was a communist. The State Department knew. The CIA knew. Ambassador Smith knew Fidel Castro was a communist. And we intentionally installed a communist in Cuba. And the Bay of Pigs was fought not to overthrow Fidel. It was all phony, like the Vietnam War, a war that we lost 58,000 men in. We never tried to win the war. I was personally told by William H. Sullivan, the American ambassador to Laos during the Vietnam War, later ambassador to Iran, just before the hostage crisis, or at least the second hostage crisis. And then, of course, by a four-star Marine General, Lew Walt. They both told me we could have won the Vietnam War in 6 weeks. Neither one of them, I think, at least Ambassador Sullivan, member of the CFR, close associate of Henry Kissinger, I don't think he ever really understood. He was not a bad man. He was not an evil man. He just didn't understand that Vietnam was a great diversion so we could bring in the great society. And we sent those men over there to be killed, to create this impression we were fighting communism. Ladies and gentlemen, we financed communism from its inception. Go back and study the period of Vietnam War. All during that time, we were funneling billions of dollars in loans and development and aid and machinery to Russia. And Russia was funding the North Vietnamese, who were funding the South Vietnamese, who were killing our men. Where do you think that North Vietnam got their sophisticated jet fighters and anti-aircraft, radar-directed anti-aircraft? Do you think they built those in the rice paddies? Of course not. They were built in Russia. And they were brought in, and we weren't allowed to stop them from coming in. We had to have an enemy if we were going to have a war. This is what we're up against. Our number, of course, we've got some four tape sets on Vietnam if you want to get the documentation. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. But please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
As we raise our voices, from the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, wide with hope.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Cheryl Hancock, who is with us. We try to have her on every month, certainly on the first Thursday evening, Friday morning, and in her time, she's over in Israel, and I like to think about Cheryl sort of being the Radio Liberty representative over there, and she's doing a wonderful, wonderful job, and she's been there, I think, 12 years or more, living over in Israel, and basically ministering to the Palestinians, ministering to the Jews there. Now, of course, you cannot be there as a Christian pushing the gospel. So she actually just works helping the people. And she serves as a reporter over there to keep us and the listeners here at Radio Liberty abreast of what's really going on in Israel and the Middle East at this time. And believe me, there are lots of problems in that part of the world. Certainly, we hear about the Arab Spring, this desire for democracy. Of course, that's all a lie. Basically, the dark forces that control Washington, D.C. were behind the revolution in Egypt and Tunisia and in Libya. And they're funding, certainly, we have our forces over there funding and training and arming the so-called civil war going over there. It's not a civil war. We actually bring in fighters from all over the Middle East to crush the government of Syria, so we can turn that over to the Muslim Brotherhood. We've already done that with Turkey. Turkey was traditionally a friend of Egypt up until 2002, when the Turkish secular government was overthrown, and now the radical Muslim Brotherhood's in control there. They're in control of Lebanon. They're in control in Afghanistan. They're in control in Iraq, thanks to American occupation, which destroyed the secular governments and brought in these new radical Islamic governments. Well, let's get to Cheryl. Cheryl, tell us what's going on over in Israel at the present time as far as Syria is concerned. We know many of the Israelis are very concerned about the possibility of a poison gas attack. Here in America, we can't even imagine the uncertainty with which the Israeli people are listening today. Bring us up to date, please.
Yeah, well, as I guess most everyone heard, Israel supposedly had bombed a couple places in Syria. And what Israel is officially saying is, well, unofficially, I should say, what they are saying is that what they were after was a convoy of trucks leaving Damascus that was headed towards Hezbollah, and it had missiles on it that we know Hezbollah is a terrorist organization and is against Israel and would use those against Israel. So Israel went in, and they hit the convoy. As far as the other target, which was supposedly a chemical weapons factory, Israel has not said that they even went in and did this. So everyone's kind of unsure. But one thing Israel is doing is that they have put the Iron Dome in three different places in the north of our country, of Israel. And they are prepared if there is an attack coming in from Hezbollah or even from Syria, because there are lots and lots of missiles. One time I was at a press conference, and Netanyahu said there's 4,000 missiles, at least 4,000 missiles pointed towards Israel. And this was quite a while ago. So and of course, everyone's getting prepared.
Okay, but my understanding, though, is everybody there is getting gas masks because there's a real fear and concern about the possibility of a gas attack on Israel, isn't there?
Yeah, that's true. As a matter of fact, I just went to the mall. The mall is where you go to the post office and the bank and all that. I was walking through the mall, and all of a sudden I saw this group of people, and they were standing around, and I went and I looked closer, and it was a gas mask distribution place, right at where you have the hamburgers and things like this. So people have just been lining up to get their gas masks. And now, instead of like 1,000 people a week getting gas masks, 4,000 people in 1 week got their gas masks. So over half the population have their gas masks.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Cheryl Hancock in Jerusalem. Go right ahead, Cheryl. You're saying 4,000 people are getting, 4,000 people a week are getting gas masks?
Yes, 4,000 people a week have been running over to the malls. They opened new distribution centers. I finally got my gas mask. They have not called the journalist in for their gas mask, so I went through a friend and I got one just in case, because we don't know what's going to happen. They really believe the chemical weapons are coming here. People are just wanting to be prepared. They're preparing with food. They're preparing their bomb shelters in the north now. I heard that they were under maintenance, and they went and filled them up with all kinds of things that they need in case that there is a war again coming from the north or from Syria.
Well, Sonny, what do you hear about Syria? Sonny, it's almost 2 years that this has been going on. Is President Assad holding his own? Sonny, are the rebels advancing, or is it more or less a stalemate in Syria today? And we hear that, you know, there really several million people have been displaced from their homes, and 700,000 living over in Jordan, 60 or 70,000 killed. Civilians, innocent civilians killed, thousands of those children. Basically, what is really going on? Do you have any figures that we can give us an idea of the enormity of the tragedy that is gripping Syria today?
Well, as we know, over 60,000 people have been killed, and that number's rising all the time. But the Hezbollah are actually helping fight, they're helping to Syria, the regime, fight against the so-called rebels, and they are arming against them, and so Syria has Iran fighters coming in from Iran helping the government. Hezbollah is helping the government of Syria. The rebels are doing a good job, because as you just said before this program started, that the rebels are being armed by other countries and are getting help. So it is a war that's going on, and the Western world wants Assad to fall, but the Shiites are mainly staying on the side of Syria and trying to help them. So it's back and forth, and there's been a lot of problems. As a matter of fact, they asked the Palestinian Authority and Hamas to take in some of the refugees, because the other countries, as you said, are overwhelmed with refugees, and they refused to. Hamas refused to take in refugees because they said, well, then that will mess up our right of return for the Palestinians. We won't have that thing to bargain with Israel anymore. So they actually refuse to take in refugees, which Israel, of course, is glad for. They don't want a bunch of Syrians here that do not like Israel and that would eventually attack Israel. So it's getting very dangerous on that border for Israel. More jeeps have been shot at, IDF has been shot at. It's starting to spill over again.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Cheryl Hancock, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, as Cheryl is saying, and correct me if I'm incorrect, Cheryl, but that Hezbollah is sending soldiers to help Syria. Iran is sending soldiers to help Syria fight off the enemy. And, of course, there are people coming from all the other Arab countries. They're well-financed, they're well-armed, they're well-trained, and we have our forces in both Jordan and certainly in Turkey. We have special forces over there that are financing the rebels. What are we doing over there? Why do we stay home here and defend America? Why, Chris, the purpose of America's military is to dominate the world. And in my estimation, that's why we're sending American troops to 35 African nations. If you think that sounds incredible, just go up and Google in U.S. sending U.S. troops to 35 African nations. And nobody ever asks, why are we sending American troops to 35 African nations? But then, why do we have our troops in both Jordan and Turkey training the rebels? We're killing the civilians over there in Syria. Maybe we ought to mind our own business, but of course that is not the basis of American foreign policy. Basically, how do the Israelis feel? Are they really going on with life as usual? Or a lot of them very, very frightened at the prospect of this, of certainly the war expanding and there being attacks on Israel from Hezbollah? And of course, is Israel concerned about the fact that if it looked like the Syrian government, current Syrian government, was going to be overthrown, that Syria would launch an attack on Israel? We've actually heard that, and I don't know if there's any truth to it, but that Assad had told his generals that if he is killed, that they are to attack Israel. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, that's what's been in the media here, and so that seems to be the truth. He is telling his forces to take Israel out if there's any attacks, but also Iran saying the same thing against Israel if we attack Syria or Iran, as a matter of fact. But the people here know that there is a very high possibility for a chemical attack here, or at least a missile attack. But people are trying to go along and do their day, do their daily routine, yet there is a high alert. There are forces up on the border. You can see the military transports, the tanks, everything going up towards the north. People are on high alert. People are preparing, but it's not to the point where people are very nervous yet.
Are they worried about a land attack, a ground attack from Syria? Are they worried about an air attack from Syria? Are they worried about a chemical weapon, chemical gas attack from Syria? And then what about Hezbollah? Are they afraid that the Hezbollah will launch a missile attack on them?
Right. Well, one of the big scares here is that actually Hezbollah has got their hands on chemical weapons, or is going to get their hands on chemical weapons. It could have already happened because the borders are so close. They are passing weapons. Syria has passed weapons to Hezbollah a lot. And so why not them being able to get a hold of chemical weapons? This is the mindset of the Israeli government. They possibly have chemical weapons, and that's what they're preparing for. Ground troops, yes, the ground troops are down there. Israel IDF forces are down there right now, and they're watching the borders very strictly, and yes, some have made it through the fence or are trying to make it through the fence. There have been situations where they have caught some people trying to get through the fence. So they're very armed over there on the fence on the borders. Yes, so the ground troops, they're afraid of that. They're afraid of Syria actually sending missiles into Israel. And they're also afraid of the rebels. The rebels are not the good guys. The rebels are still against Israel. They're against Israel, and they will use those chemical weapons. So Israel's afraid if those rebels get a hold of the chemical weapons factories and they know where they're at, they can go in and the storage, they can get those chemical weapons, and even if this thing's all over with, they can start firing them into Israel.
And so hasn't Israel actually said that it looks as if the rebels are going to get the chemical weapons, that Israel will attack?
Yeah, Israel has to. Israel has to protect itself, so this is what all the talk was about, Israel attacking Syria this week, or this last week, the chemical weapons that were coming towards Hezbollah. But yes, they said that they have to. They have to protect themselves.
And I think people have forgotten, because, of course, they're focusing our attention on the Sandy Hook situation and collecting the guns from the American people, or registering. They just want to get your name on a list. That's all they want. They just want your name on a list. Somehow that's going to protect America. But we've forgotten that Barack Obama has said that if it looks like the rebels are going to get hold of the chemical weapons there in Syria, that is the red line that we will certainly not allow, and if that should happen, America would attack. Had you heard that?
Okay, I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
That basically, Barack Obama had said that we would not allow the rebels to actually get their hands on the chemical weapons, and if it looked like the rebels were going to get their hands on the chemical weapons, why Barack Obama would intervene. At that point, America would send troops. Had you heard that?
Well, I heard that America is sending troops over to Syria, but I did not hear that they would intervene if they got their hands on chemical weapons. I'm sure that Obama is supposed to come here, actually, in March or April. He wants to have peace negotiations. He wants to meet at the same time with Obama or with Netanyahu and with Assad and the Prime Minister of the West Bank. I have the flu, so you got to excuse me today. My brain isn't quite with it. But he wants to come and meet with both of them at one time, and he said if he can't do that, he won't come. He's got his own plan going on. Yes, he said that he would be on the side of Israel, he would stand up with Israel, but the Israelis don't believe that. The Israelis believe that they're going to be on their own if things happen. They have sent troops, though, towards Syria and towards Turkey, from what we're hearing.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, of course, the other thing is, of course, American troops are now stationed in Turkey, and those troops are there manning the anti-aircraft batteries, the Patriot batteries that we have on the Syrian border with Turkey. And the excuse is, well, we are certainly putting those anti-aircraft missiles there on the along the border in, from Turkey, along their border with Syria, because they're afraid that Syria is going to invade Turkey. Well, they're afraid that Syria is going to invade Turkey, and so they want those anti-aircraft missiles there. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to stop and think about it. Here is Syria fighting for its very existence. I mean, the rebels have taken large blocks of Syria and control large areas throughout Syria. And there, America is saying, oh, we're putting our troops over there in Turkey because we think that the Syrians are going to attack Turkey. If you believe that, ladies and gentlemen, you will believe anything. You're incredibly naive. Oh, our troops are over there because, of course, we are working right along with Turkey in this effort to overthrow Syria. And because as we do, we'll turn it over to the Muslim Brotherhood. And one more enemy, the finest enemies in my estimation, that money could buy. And all of these, of course, are going to be a potential threat to Israel down the line. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Cheryl about what's going on over in Israel today, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question for Cheryl, well, Cheryl, are the tourists still going over there? Are they still taking them on trips down there to Masada and other places?
Yeah, actually, tourism has gone up. It's really doing well, probably better than since the year 2000. And they are actually bragging and so proud about the tourism here. And it's still hard to get through Jerusalem. Jerusalem is jammed with buses, tourist buses. The people are not afraid. Everyone's being taken care of very well. The guides know exactly where to take the people. And the bus drivers are usually Arab. The guides are Jewish. They work together. They make phone calls, and people are going wherever they want. It's not a problem. Even the Palestinian areas, they're going to Bethlehem. There are thousands of people in Bethlehem for the Christmas season. There are people all over Jericho. Everyone wants the tourists here. No one wants to hurt the tourists because they want the tourist money. They want to be encouraged by the tourists that come. So I would encourage anyone to come to Israel. I have a friend coming on the 17th for 11 days. He's not afraid at all to come, and I'm not afraid to be here at all. So it's just an amazing place.
But, of course, basically, don't you have your faith in the Lord that he's going to look after. He's been looking after you for how long have you been there now, 12 years?
Actually, it'll be 14 years in May.
Oh, my goodness, time passes fast. And we've been actually working with Cheryl for several years now, and we support what she does. We think she does a great job. And if you'd like to have somebody over there representing you, an individual, not a big ministry, but one woman who's over there having an impact on the lives of people, why, we'll tell you later on how you can get in touch with Cheryl. But right now, let's go to Dave, who's calling us from Central New York. Hi, Dave. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Cheryl, I'm wondering what you think can happen to Israel in light of what the Bible says. Can Israel, and what do others think too, can Israel be wiped out? It doesn't seem so according to the scriptures. Go ahead.
What are your thoughts about Israel as far as the scriptural prophecies about Israel?
Yeah, what we're seeing, you know, it talks in the Bible about all the nations will surround Jerusalem, will come against Israel. And we're seeing that happen. We're seeing that happen as people are standing back. And everything you see in the news, everything you hear is against Israel. I'm living here. I can see the truth. And when I watch the news, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, they have that so backwards. Yet the people are blinded, and they're coming against Israel. And there's going to be a time, we believe, that America is going to stand back also. But I don't believe Israel's going to get wiped out. I believe what the Word says, and the Lord's going to come in, and he is going to intervene at some point. But it's not going to be pretty. The we know that there's going to be problems here, as the Bible says. And yes, Dave, I believe completely what it says.
Dave, if you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you hear this great war. Now, I think there's going to be several wars over there. I think this is different than the Battle of Armageddon. But there's going to be this great war when all of these countries are lined up against Israel. And you look at Israel today and all those nations that were prophesied over 2,000 years ago that were going to come against Israel, they're there. In fact, it was just a few years ago when Turkey was an ally of Israel, but in the prophecies, Turkey was to be the enemy of Israel. And then in 2002, suddenly there's a revolution, and now Turkey is now an enemy of Israel. I think we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecies. We live in exciting times. Dave, did you have anything else you wanted to say? I guess we lost Dave. All right, well, let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Scotts Valley. Hi, Mike, how are we doing?
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Could you hear him, Mike? Cheryl?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, very good. I'll repeat the question. Go ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to ask was, in regard to the Israeli Supreme Court building, that, reveals real Masonic influence in the construction of that, and as well as elements of the Dark Order being involved in the current Israeli government. Scripture refers to in the book of Revelation those that call themselves Jews that are a synagogue of Satan. What forces do you feel have infiltrated elements of the Israeli government, much like our own? And do you see the Lord needing to do a purging the time of Jacob's trouble as part of purging that?
Mike, I think that I don't know whether Cheryl wants to answer that. She's
sure.
A guest over there in Israel. Cheryl, do you want to tackle that one, or should we put that off?
Just some things, yeah, because I've heard the same thing. I've seen the same thing. I know the symbols that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's problems. And, what's so interesting is the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people that are here, a lot of them, there's a certain sect that believe that this government is just a secular government, that this is not the days when Israel should be having the land. Those people do live here in the land. So they're not behind the Zionism. They're not behind the government. They do see it, as you're saying, that it's a secular government. It's not their real government. They're waiting for the new Jerusalem to come. So I understand what you're saying, and as Dr. Stan said, I can't say too much about the government, except it is pretty much secular. They do have some religious people, a new party. As you know, there were elections recently, so there's a new party, a new government put together, a new coalition, and there are religious parties that are in that coalition.
Well, Mike,
so they're working on it. They have Netanyahu doing a Bible study at his home every week. They're trying to get people's eyes up to the Lord, so we'll see what happens there.
Mike, I think if you want to really understand so much of what's going on, you might read some of Barry Shamus's books. Now, Barry's coming from a Jewish point of view, but he will get to take you into the whole Sabbatean movement, which is labor Zionism. Never confuse Zionism, which is a desire for the Jewish homeland, with labor Zionism, which is a organization that dates back to the 1600s, and it's deeply founded in the occult. And that is why that occult emblem is on the roof of the Supreme Court building. And just as in America, where we have certainly a large Christian population, but a small group of very powerful and wicked people who control really the essence of America. So I think this is what's happening in Israel. I think most of the people there are certainly Jews. They want to live in the homeland. They believe in the Jewish homeland. But there is a small occult group. And I would suggest certainly some of Barry Shamus's book, Going into Labor Zionism. I think it will help you to understand the Sabbateanism. And fascinating, there really are the occult forces in Israel, just as they're here in America. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, just that it's the glaring folly of trying to do it by the map instead of the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's a spiritual battle, Mike. It's a spiritual battle. God bless. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I guess it's Cheryl Hancock. We're going to be back here in just a moment as we discuss what's really going on over in Israel today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cheryl Hancock. Of course, if you'd like to talk to Cheryl, you have some questions about what's going on over in Israel, why our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or if you're in the Central Coast of California, our telephone number is 464-8295. 464-8295. And of course, before we started radio, even initially after we started it, we did actually take six separate trips over to the Holy Land. Wonderful, wonderful trips. We certainly saw the Greek islands. We went down the Nile. I went up to the Aswan Dam. We've been to Masada many, many times. And certainly the whole, it is like being one with history. And if you're a Christian, why, it's such an exciting thing to visit. But then you're there all the time, certainly. What are some of the things you're getting from some of the people? Have some of the people you've come in contact become evangelical Christians?
Dr. Stan, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the whole question.
Well, basically, of course, now, what about the influence of Christianity? Is there any significant Christian influence in Israel today?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you've got two separate groups. You have the Jewish people, you have the Arab people, and what's going on in the Arab population, the people there are really getting tired of the violence, of sending their kids to become suicide bombers. They're losing hope. They are being taught that they need to take the land back and take it from the occupiers. I work a lot with the Palestinians, and I can tell you that I could work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, going home to home and leading people to the Lord like crazy, because these people are hungry for something new. They're hungry for a God of love, and that's what's winning them over. As a matter of fact, I have to go to a village today. I'll be speaking to the mayor, to the council, about some of the people in the village that are doing such a good job, because when these people learn that the Lord that we have is a loving God, we also teach them to love their neighbors. And as they love their neighbors, they stop attacking the Jewish people. It changes the whole atmosphere. So this village is doing a great job. But on the Jewish side, it's legal to evangelize. It's legal to get on the street and talk to the people, but you will get attacked one way or the other. There's a group called the Yad Lachim, which is an anti-missionary group, and if they know you're out there doing this to the Jewish people, trying to convert the souls, you will be either, well, there's other things that can happen to you. So people have to be very careful. If you are a believer, and I am a Christian, I'm an evangelical Christian, my job here is a journalist, and when I go to the Palestinians, I want them to love the Jewish people. So I know getting them to understand the Lord and loving the Lord will change them. So I focus on them, and I have to keep my focus there. Of course, I have many, many Jewish friends. I live among the Jews. I live in a so-called settlement in the West Bank, and I love it here. And they're my friends, but I don't try to convert them. I figure the Lord can do that. I do pray a lot. I do talk a lot, but it's the Lord's job to convert them.
And, of course, the Palestinians, I mean, things are bad. Certainly not ideal for the Jewish people, but for the Palestinians, it's just a terrible, terrible situation, because basically they have no hope. But they're in a situation where almost 50% unemployment? What's the unemployment rate in the Palestinian area?
Wow. You know, I don't know the exact percentage, but most of them are unemployed. Mm-hmm. When they are working, they're working for between $300 and $500 a month. So many of them sneak into Israel to get at least minimum wage, get better wage so they can send that money back to their families. Some of them will live under trees in abandoned buildings. It's amazing what they'll do for work. So, yes, they're not treated very well in the Palestinian Authority. They don't have factories. They don't have a way to make money in the Palestinian Authority. A lot of construction. A lot of construction is going on now, so that's been helping. A lot of the grocery stores in the so-called settlements are hiring the Arab people. The factories in the so-called settlements, they're hiring the Arab people. So the Arab people want to work for Israel. They actually would rather be under Israeli control than Palestinian control, because they know the Israeli government is a democracy, is the only democracy in the Middle East, and they treat the people more fairly. And they don't want to be under the Palestinian Authority. But if they speak up against the Palestinian Authority, they can be killed. And I work with these people, like Dr. Stan said, for almost 14 years, and I've seen some of them and then not seen them again. In other words, they have been killed. They have been tortured. I worked with some of them that have been in prison under the Palestinian Authority, and the IDF went in and busted the walls down in 2002. I go to those people, and these people want a life. They want to live under Israel. They want to have hope. They want their children to grow up, and they want love. They want love in their life. So it's amazing that they can't live under their government and live in peace and freedom. No, a lot of them don't go along with what the program is. They want out of it.
And the difficulty is, I mean, living here in America, we don't understand what it would be like, you know. It would be simply just eking out a living and living in constant fear and surrounded by hatred and your children being taught to hate. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Jay calling in from Soquel. Hi, Jay. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. Other than the last lady, what's the strong messianic movement in over there?
I'm sorry, what movement now?
Messianic.
Messianic, or in other words, basically, yes. By messianic you mean a converting Jews to Christianity. Well, okay, so
well,
go ahead.
Yeah, can I answer?
Go ahead, go right ahead. Go right ahead,
what I'd like...
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay.
Cheryl,
okay, what I'd like, can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so messianic is someone who is Jewish and has become a believer in Yeshua or Jesus, and there are many of them in the land here, and there are many congregations in the land here. They don't call them churches, they call them congregations or kehilas in Hebrew, and the local people that believe in Yeshua, just like in the first century, they come together every Shabbat on the Saturday, and they have their fellowship, and that movement is growing, not as quickly as the Arabs, but they are growing, and there's, but when they go to their kehilas, they feel like they're free from the law, so they leave everything that's, let's say, wearing the kippah, which is a yarmulke, and all the other things. They pretty much leave all the things behind, and they just worship Yeshua. They sing in Hebrew. Their congregations are in Hebrew or Russian, because a lot of Russians have come to the Lord. And that is a movement that is going on here.
Does that answer your question, Jay?
Yes, sir. And I'll just say, I go here to the Temple of Beth El in Knaptos. And, you know, it's a Reform Judaism, but there's still, you know, like elements there. I mean, you know, any kind of Jewish, you know, synagogue is still going to talk about, you know, Jesus Christ. I mean, even if they don't talk about that, you know, if they're going to have the background and it's still there, they realize it or not.
Okay, well, Jay, thank you so very much for calling, and God bless you. And I think it's wonderful we have a Messianic congregation right here in Santa Cruz. Bye-bye. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Cheryl Hancock, and basically we just had someone calling and asking about the Messianic Jewish movement in Israel, and Cheryl says that it is growing. And there are Jewish believers, Christian believers. It's certainly Christianity is not growing as rapidly among Jews in Israel as it is among the Palestinians. The Palestinians are just totally without hope. And the only thing that offers them any hope is Christianity, and they are turning to Christianity in significant numbers. And whole communities over there of Palestinians are turning to Christianity. So this is really exciting. And but before we go on, first of all, I'll give our telephone number out. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Cheryl, what I want you to do is get out your website. I want you to get out your email so people can get in touch with you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Cheryl is over there, and she's really supported by people here at home who believe in what she's doing. She's never asked us for anything at all. But, of course, Barbara and I support her. We think that that she's doing a great job, and we know that some of our other listeners support her. So, Cheryl, I want you to get your website and your email out there, and I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, about once a week why we get an email from Israel, from Jerusalem, to keep us abreast of what's going on. I always look forward to reading it. Go right ahead, Cheryl.
Yes, I do have an update that I send out at least 3 times a week, and if you want to be on that list, it'd be best to email me, and the email address is very simple. It's reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. That's reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. Dr. Stan, I want to thank you and your wife for your support and your encouragement, too. I wish you, too, could come and visit. I would love to take you around.
Well, I think if something happens and we have to give up the radio, one of the first things we want to do is take another trip over there. But it's pretty hard when you're doing 5 hours a day to take off. But I appreciate the invitation, and we'll just take a rain check on it. Right now, of course, I want to mention that Dean Gotcher, I don't know how many of you know Dean, but he's an evangelical Christian. He goes all over the country speaking, and he's going to be in Santa Cruz on February the 9th. He's speaking at 6:30 p.m., and if you want to know anything about it, simply you have to send him an email at deangotcher@gmail.com. DeanGotcher@gmail.com. If you can't reach him and you'd like to hear him, why, of course, you could call me and we'll put you in touch with him. He's going to be here on the 9th of February at 6:30 p.m. Dean is a true patriot. He's given up everything to go around the country talking to people about the spiritual battle that's going on today, and certainly one of my favorite people. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and right now, we've got Dave calling from Central New York. Hi, Dave. How are we doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. I have one other statement and question.
Okay.
For Cheryl. In Revelation chapter 18, it talks about Babylon, the great is fallen, it's fallen, etc. It's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and like that. And it refers to in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And in Revelation 18, it refers to a Babylon as being her, a she, 28 times. And it says in the...
Well, now, what was, Dave, what was your question?
My question is this. It says, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and found no more at all. And it seems to identify Babylon in Revelation 11, chapter 11, verse 8, the streets of about the two witnesses of the great city. It refers to the great city.
Okay, fine.
Times.
Well, basically, let's just get Cheryl's view on that. But basically, we don't want to get into a long dissertation
basically,
Dave, this is what we're doing. We're getting into a long dissertation on Scripture. But basically, I'll ask Cheryl if she has any thoughts at all on this concept of Babylon, Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great that's going to fall. Babylon, of course, the financial center of the world where the merchants will weep because Babylon has been destroyed. Do you have any thoughts at all on that passage, Cheryl?
Well, you know, just as you teach, you know, that's a guess of what we have. I have my ideas. I'd rather not give that out of what that is.
Okay, fine.
And also, Dr. Stan, in the Hebrew language, everything is masculine or feminine. So if it says she, it's like a computer is feminine and a chair is masculine. I'm just giving you an idea. Everything is considered a he or she. So when somebody asks me, can you open your her, you know, they're referring to my computer. So Babylon, she is the city. And, yes, I don't know what else say about that right now because
okay.
I have my views. And
all right, fine. Cheryl, pardon me, David, I've been basically, I'm not a theologian, but I think they're talking about New York City, and we'll just have to wait and see. But I believe we're heading into terrible times, and I believe, of course, America is the financial center of the world, and that's what the Babylon described in Revelation is. God bless. Our telephone number is, again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. But if you read the Revelation about Babylon, you find that this is certainly a great city. The merchants of the world weep because, of course, Babylon has been destroyed. And with that, of course, there is no way for financial to sell things, basically, because the whole, it would sound like, the monetary base or the financial base simply has been destroyed. But that's a little far away from where we're going with Cheryl. We want to talk about what's going on in Israel tonight. So if you have a question or comment in relationship to Israel and what's going on over there, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, well, basically, Cheryl, Sydney, I understand gasoline is fantastically expensive over there. And there's certainly a lot of things are quite expensive. In many respects, much more expensive than they are here. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. Unfortunately, the gas has gone up this week, as a matter of fact. And so it's getting closer to $9 a gallon. It's over $8 a gallon now. But one good thing is that they started blowing natural gas off of the coast this last week, and it's flowing to the companies now. So everyone's thinking the gas is going to go down, but I just kind of don't know about that because, you know, once they get it up there, it's hard to bring it back down. Yes, everything else is expensive here. A lot of things are imported. You get a lot of imported things from America. Vitamins are three times as much over here. So I carry my own vitamins to Israel. It's really hard to live here. The minimum wage is lower than in the West, in America especially. And the people are living on just from month to month. They have one car usually. A car is very expensive to own here. And insurance and just getting it registered. It's not easy to live here. Yet we have all of these Westerners moving to Israel still. It's amazing that they're making Aliyah, which is immigration to Israel, as the Bible talks about, you know, that the Lord's going to bring us from the north, south, east, and west, and they are coming from the west and coming to these hard conditions. And as I said, I've been here almost 14 years. It's not easy. It's not easy to live here, but it's reality, and I love living in reality in Israel.
Well, now, basically, when you say they're coming from the west, are they coming from Europe? Are they coming from England? Are they coming from the United States?
Well, they're coming from England, they're coming from Canada, and they're coming from the United States. Many more have come to the United States within the past 5 years than ever before. So they are seeing an influx of people coming in from the United States.
And I really think that is amazing because, we have a friend who is, I think, one of his cousins moved over there. And they didn't know why they went. They just felt that they were drawn, that God wanted them to go. And so they picked up and went. What do you hear from the various Jews that you meet who've actually left? I mean, the comfort here in the United States and the prosperity to move over there where, of course, you start to get a job, but you don't make anywhere as near as much. And you give up so much when you move to Israel. Why are the Jews leaving America and Europe and Canada and going to Israel today? What motivates them?
Well, I've asked a lot of them questions, and then I've talked to some of the kids that come over. The kids, I'm referring to 18 to in their early 20s, that come over to join the service, the IDF. They feel it's their duty because they're Jewish people that they should come in and they should help their people. A lot of people said this is their homeland. Israel has been their homeland for 3,000 years, and they want to come and help Israel. Now, a lot of those kids will stay here, and they'll meet others, and they'll have families here and get married here. People know that it's easier to live in other countries, but they just feel that they belong here. This is their homeland. Also, there is so much persecution, anti-Semitism, which is on the rise, as if it was before World War II, before the Nazi period. It's on the rise everywhere, and people know it. They feel it. They come over here. Yes, there's anti-Semitism over here, but not like around the world. And so people are coming here for safety. They're coming here because they're standing with the Jewish people. They're coming here, like you said, Dr. Stan, they don't know why. They just feel drawn. And I believe it's because the Lord's drawing them.
I do as well. And basically, of course, this is what we materialists here in America very, very seldom look at the spiritual forces behind what's going on today. And suddenly, the longer I live, the more convinced I am of the fact that God does rule in the affairs of men. And looking back over many years, well over half a century, I can see how God has guided me. I didn't know many times why I did what I did, but I did it. I always just had a feeling this is what I was supposed to do. And suddenly, I believe this is what's guiding so many of the Jews to return to the Holy Land at this time. Because if you look at it from a logical point of view, it's totally illogical to go over there, to live in this small country surrounded by enemies. Of course, there's a very real chance of a war, real chance of a chemical gas war, these weapons being used on the civilian population. And yet people are risking their lives to go. Illogically, but they're going anyway, and large numbers of them are going to Israel today. And I believe, as Cheryl does, this is God's hand. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think it's really rather exciting now that they suddenly found natural gas off the shores of Israel. And this is really going to be a tremendous boon for Israel, isn't it? They're going to be able to actually use the natural gas to generate electricity, and they can actually get natural gas cars. This would be a tremendous boon for Israel. How recently have they started actually producing the gas? Because they only found it within the last year or so.
Yeah, there's a few different places that they found it, but last week they said there's a pipeline that goes straight from the ship to the company's power stations throughout Israel. That happened last week. And they said there's enough energy to last Israel for decades. So, and it says it would secure Israel and make them independent for the first time. So it's already started. And yes, there are some that they have to refine and all this, but one ship is already out there sending it to the companies.
Now, have they found any oil down around the Dead Sea? I know the people have been down there looking for oil for many years. Is there any oil that you've heard of?
I know that they're also drilling down there. I know people that are investing in that company that's down there drilling. And there are rumors that they have found oil, but it's not big enough to make the headlines yet. So I don't know. I don't know. We should hear soon.
Well, I think that God looks after Israel. I think that certainly you can't understand anything going on over there unless you understand that God is influencing these affairs as they develop. And the fact that they have this massive natural gas discovery just off the shore there of Israel today, it's going to be tremendously beneficial financially for the country. Now, have they called up the military reserves at all?
They haven't yet. You know that every child here has to join the service when they turn 18, girls for 2 years, boys for 3 years. And they're working on the religious also. The religious usually just go to yeshivas and study the Torah. And they're trying to pass a law where they have to join the service also in one way or the other. They don't have to fight on the front lines, but they do have to do some type of service. They do not allow the Arabs, or do not want the Arabs to join the service, because they're afraid they're going to turn those guns on Israel, of course. So we have over 1.5 million Arab Israelis. And actually, the Arab Israelis, and I'm almost getting off your topic, but we have Arab Israelis in the Knesset also. And as they were swearing in at this new Knesset last week, the Arab Israelis walked out after they swore in before the national anthem. They will not sing the national anthem. They said it has nothing to do with them. So Israel's going to have a tough job with this Knesset to all get along and make decisions of what to do in Israel here.
Well, now, basically, what is Netanyahu going to do? Is he going to bring this new party in? I think it's a fellow named Bennett who's heading this new party.
Well, that's what he's talking about, but he also has to deal with the religious party, which is Shah's party. And so there's kind of a struggle going on right now. They've got a date, I believe it's March 3rd, I can't remember the exact date, it's in March, but they've got a deadline that they have to have the coalition together. Netanyahu has to put it together. And so there's negotiations going on, and this is where the compromise comes in. This system is so different from America. People want to change it, but they're so used to it, it's hard to stop and change. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up in this coalition.
What happened to Barack? Barack, of course, was the defense minister. No relationship to Barack Obama, but the defense minister over there is Barack, who I've never really had much use for. What's going to happen to him?
Well, we're hoping that he's not going to be around, but we don't know yet. I just have no idea on that one.
Okay, fine. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Cheryl. But, of course, this is the Holy Land. And basically, this is one of the most important pieces of land in the world. It's just a little tiny country. I mean, suddenly just a fraction of that whole area of the Middle East, and yet it's having such a profound impact on not only Israel, but on the rest of the world. But this is as I believe God has intended it. I mean, God has certainly, for some reason or other, I don't think it's fair, I don't know why, but he picked the Jewish people for a specific purpose in carrying out his plan for the world. And certainly many times the Jewish people have turned against God. I mean, the story of the Old Testament is time and again the Jewish people would turn against God, and then, of course, he'd bring vengeance upon them. And then terrible things would happen. They'd turn back to God, and they'd prosper. And then, of course, they'd become self-indulgent, and then they'd turn against God again. And the same story, I think, tragically seems to be happening in America today. Because America, of course, is very, very similar to Israel. Many people through the centuries have seen the similarities between the formation of Israel and the formation of America. But tragically, now the people of America are turning against God. At least there's some people over there in Israel, the fundamentalist Jews, who have held to their traditions. I wish we had more people here in America who held strongly to their positions in relationship to the part that God has played in the foundation of our country. I know he played an important part in the formation of Israel. Our guest, Cheryl Hancock, will be back in just a couple of minutes to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Cheryl, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us tonight. So what is the message you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I have a prayer request. And I've been, as you know, working with Palestinians. And these Palestinians want out of the Palestinian Authority, especially the ones that become believers. When you become a Christian underneath the Palestinian Authority, you can be killed. And many of them have been tortured. I got one man asylum in a European country. And Europeans do not want Muslims coming into their countries anymore. They're shutting down the immigration because Muslims are not assimilating into their countries, and they don't want Sharia zones everywhere in the countries as they have in London. So the two boys that I've been working with for years now have been denied asylum because they were born as Muslims. And the prayer request is that these boys get asylum. If they're sent back to the West Bank, they're in Norway right now, if they're sent back, they will be killed. Because this is the government that is not a democracy in the under the Palestinian Authority. It's more of a dictatorship, and if you don't do what they say, and if you change your religion, you can be killed. It's a horrible place to live. So that's a prayer request. And the other one is that Israel needs prayer. They have decisions to make, a new coalition government, and things are getting tough all around Israel. All their neighbors are wanting to come against them. And so we ask for prayer for the government to make the right decisions. And, of course, we know that we would like to have them look up and know our Lord, too.
Well, that's all we can do, and we appreciate everything you're doing over there in the front lines. And when are you going to be back here to the United States?
I'm hoping to do a speaking tour in the summertime.
All right,
so, Lord willing, I'll get to see you.
All right. Well, we hope you do, and certainly be sure to let us know, and we'll be glad to take you to lunch or take you to dinner. But we appreciate so much you're doing what you're doing. I know Barbara, and I would love to both be doing what you're doing, but I'm getting a little old for that, and I believe the Lord wants me here behind a microphone. But, of course, we sort of enjoy hearing from you and knowing that you're over there, that you're reaching people. I think it's exciting that so many of the Palestinians are returning, are looking for the Lord. And certainly when people are hopeless, why Christianity offers them hope. I think that probably before very long, we may be in a situation here in America, and I hate to say this, but I really hope things get so bad that people will begin looking towards the Lord. It's the only thing that's ever going to change America. It's certainly the only thing that's going to change the heart of the Palestinians today. It's the only thing that's going to change the hardened hearts of so many people here in America. Cheryl, I want to thank you for everything you're doing. Please keep in touch with us. Could we make an arrangement to do a program next month? At the same time.
Okay, and thank you so much, Dr. Stan, for everything, and Barbara, too.
Good night. God bless.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and Carissa Cheryl was saying off the air that the Palestinians need your prayers. And basically, she's been working with a Palestinian man for a number of years. She calls him Smiley. He was able to actually get him asylum in Norway. And his two sons, who are Palestinians, have gone over there. But, of course, the Norwegians don't want Palestinians. They don't want Muslims coming in. And, of course, there's a very real threat, a fear that those two young men who are Palestinians, who've converted to Christianity, will be forcibly sent back to Palestine. And if they are sent back, they will be killed. Let me repeat that. If they're sent back, they'll be killed. Cheryl's worked with the Palestinians. Many of them have converted to Christianity and been tortured. Many of them have converted to Christianity and been killed. This is not imaginary. This is what's going on over there today. And as Christians here in America sit back and take everything for granted and spend our time watching the Super Bowl. Now I watch the Super Bowl, and I even watch the halftime program, although I really had to close my eyes most of the time because it was so vulgar. And of course, there were all sorts of occult symbology in that. And Alex Jones apparently has done some great programs on the occult symbology in the Super Bowl halftime program. Because, you see, the occultists and the Satanists are here working, and the average Christian, it doesn't affect him. Well, let me tell you, over there in Palestine, you convert to Christianity, they will kill you. And so, certainly, Cheryl asked for people to pray for Smiley's two sons in Norway, that they somehow get asylum there or something can come along to help them, to give them a place to go where they'll be safe. Because if they're sent back forcibly by the Norwegian government, sent back to Palestine, they will be killed. And she also asked, of course, for prayers for Israel, that the leaders of this new government that will be coming in now under Netanyahu will do the right things to preserve Israel as a nation. Of course, I believe we should pray for Israel. We actually, ordinarily in the evening when we have our evening prayer, why we should pray for Cheryl. And if you could include Cheryl in your prayers, why, well, she needs a lot of help and support. And we certainly look upon her as certainly the Radio Liberty representative over there. She's over there on her own, but we've actually written letters of saying that she is our correspondent, and she is, and reporting to us regularly. What a privilege it is to have a friend like Cheryl over there doing God's work in the Holy Land. Well, this is the time when I need, of course, to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and you can actually hear our programs there on the Internet. At that site, you can hear, of course, our programs if you have an iPad or an iPhone, or even if you have a cellular telephone or with unlimited minutes, or regular phone with unlimited minutes. You can hear our two-hour afternoon program every day, and we have a lot of people who listen to Radio Liberty by that means. But what we need to do is, of course, get as many people listening as we can, and then work together in concert to try to bring about a great revival in America, because I see no hope at all from America unless the people of this country turn back to God. And those of you who heard our first hour with Paul McGuire talking about the first great revival in the 1730s and the second great revival in the 1830s under Charles Finney, what we need is another great revival in America, if there's any hope for this country. And I can promise you one thing, and that things are going to get a lot worse. And just hope and pray that out of the progressive destruction of the financial base of this country, people will then really be impacted and will turn away from their wicked ways and look for a solution. And only God can help America. None of our politicians can, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, get a case of the book and help us to get it out, because hopefully it will lead people into a personal relationship with our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It's going to be an interesting one today. This first hour may change a lot of things. There has been a game changer in 9/11. It's back on the table again. Today is February 7th. It is Thursday, 2013. Oh, my gosh. You recall we told you that William Rodriguez was going to Iran. We were privileged enough to have him call us at the airport in New York City, the Power Hour, to say, I want your listeners to know I'm going to Iran. I'm going to talk to Ahmadinejad. I'm going to be telling the truth about 9/11. A lot of people thought, really? How can he get over to Iran from here? Well, you don't go directly to Iran, I'm sure. I don't know, because I've never tried to get a passport and wouldn't really want to, but William Rodriguez does what most people won't do. If you don't know who he is, you do need to know.